saying, take opportunity of the situation. But he would say to you, keep your eyes on him. Encourage yourself in the Lord and know that he is fully in control. And the Lord would assure you that this situation in no way negates his promises, for his promises stand eternal and they will continue. But the Lord is widening the net at this time, and he's bringing you into an even greater place. He works all things together for good, so don't be alarmed, don't be concerned, but look up and encourage yourself and rejoice in what the Lord your God is doing, for he's doing things that are great and mighty that you don't envisage in your own natural thinking, in your own natural mind. But the Lord is working together to bring a mighty harvest, of which you will be the reapers, and you will see his great hand at work.
Today, the 17th of May, 2020, and I've entitled the message today, The Declaration of the Ministry and Mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Declaration of the Ministry and Mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to, first of all, to turn to Isaiah 61, Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them who are bound.
Amen.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And as we realize that this is a prophetic word that Isaiah is speaking, which has come right from the very throne room of God.
Amen.
This word is being let loose on the nation, and God is about to show them great things, what he's going to do. And you know, this word is being prophesied time into the future. And this is wonderful that we see God at work already speaking out the future. And this is our God. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that speaks already into the future. He knows the future. He knows the end from the beginning. He, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He's there for us all along the way. And so as we realize that God is at work in our lives, and that God has already prepared a pathway for us, as with Jesus, you know, God has already said to the prophet Isaiah, this is what is going to happen. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, the Son of God, that's who it's going to be. So let's just look at now, let's move to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to start reading at verse 25. That's Luke chapter 2 and verse 25.
And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed him, and said, Now, Lord, thou dost let now thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel.
Amen. This is the beginning of the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophetic word. And we see that Simeon, he's on priesthood duty, and he's getting on in life. He's been waiting for the Lord to show him. He's been a man who has been expectant of God to show him his glory, of God to actually show him the fulfillment of his visions that have been ministered by Isaiah over the years. And this man Simeon has hung on to these words and has begun to say, Lord, as soon as he sees this eight-year-old boy, and bear in mind, he will have seen many eight-day-old babies. He'll have seen many of them, but this one is different. And this one, he knows.
Amen.
This is the deliverer.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Messiah. And the King James and the American Standard say, Simeon in the ministry is waiting for the consolation of the Lord. That word consolation means the Messiah.
Amen.
It means the comforter for the people. And so Simeon has been waiting for the Messiah. Simeon has been waiting for God's comforter. Simeon has been waiting for the one who is going to deliver the people and set them free, who is going to fulfill what Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah 61 and verses 1 and 2.
Mm.
And so he's now in a great expectations of what God is going to do. But he's seen it, and that is all he needed to see was the birth of the child. And to see that child and to hold that child and to offer those sacrifices on behalf of that child. And he's like, I've seen it all. That's
Amen.
All I need.
Amen.
That's all I want. I am ready now to go. I'm ready to be taken up. I'm ready to be spend my time in the presence of Almighty God forever and ever. And so we read this, that Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And you know, we as a people of God in these coming days need to be even more filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That we don't focus on the circumstances, situations, but we seek the presence of God. We seek the filling, the fullness of God for our lives. And in that infilling of our lives, that we can then let it outflow from us to touch other people, to touch people and to change people's lives. Because you and I are here for a purpose.
Amen.
We're not here just to sit and meet together, but we're here to touch people's lives. We're here to empower people. We're here to set captives free. We're here to be the continuation of Isaiah 61.
Mm-hmm.
We're there to see that being fulfilled, because Christ is in each and every one of us, and Christ is calling us to step into the ministry, to step into the mission that he had set before him, that Father God had laid out from the beginning of time, that God was about to do great and mighty things. In verse 30, Simeon says, this salvation, you know, he said, I have seen your salvation.
Amen.
What had he seen? He'd seen but a small 8-day-old child. But yet he looked at that child and he saw God's salvation.
Amen.
He saw the whole picture and he was excited and he envisaged it all. And he saw in this, when this word salvation is used, this is a gift of salvation that is given by God to all of mankind. Deliverance from sin, healing of all our sicknesses and diseases, from mental torment, deliverance from eternal punishment and separation from God, restoring our relationship to the Father God. This is what this salvation is all about. And this was God's plan from the very beginning. This was God's intention. From the time that God created us, God had intended us to know Christ. God intends us to know him and to know his life eternal. And so this is part of God's plan. God never wanted us to be separated from Him. So God has always intended that we would have a relationship with Him. So when we were separated, God had to make a way back. God had to find another connection. A little bit like us today. Zoom has gone down. You know, Zoom has been hacked. It's heavy. It's crashed. Nobody can get onto it. So we found another way. We've gone via Messenger. There has been another route that we've able to use. Now, in the same way, those sins separated us from God. Jesus came. And came and lived that sin pure life. So that nothing could touch Him. He was sinless. He was spotless. He was pure, holy. And as we realize that He came to live that life, and then He came to die for each and every one of us, that in that dying, we might live in Him. We might live through Him, and that He might live through us. In that sense, there is this coming together, that there is no join between you and Christ. It is this seamless coming together. There is no separation. You can't see the join. Christ in me, I'm in Christ, the hope of glory. Amen. And so there is that moving that God wants to bring us to. And so God has always intended us to be in His presence. God has always intended us to be close to Him.
Amen.
And so we move into that realm and see Christ in our lives. Verse 32 says, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Thank God that Jesus came and became our light.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And thank God for that, that He came to be the light of the world. He came to be your light. He came to be my light. And in doing that, it has allowed Israel to... And when He talks about Israel, I believe, so much in the New Testament, we are talking about the spiritual Israel.
Mm.
Because God came for all of mankind and drew us into Himself. And so we are being drawn. And the Bible talks that Abraham is the father of all in that sense. And what does that mean? It means He's the father of the spiritual.
Mm.
He's the father of the spiritual. And Abraham was never a Jew.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And so we, as Gentiles, we are drawn to Christ through the work of the cross. We're drawn to Christ through the power of the cross. We're drawn to Christ through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And in all of that, in drawing us to Christ, there is a ministry and a mission for each and every one of us.
Yeah.
None of us are exempt. None of us are set on one side and say, you don't have to do anything. Each and every one of us is called.
Yeah.
Each and every one of us has to be and is being equipped for the work of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so it's important. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. That is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8.
Therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led captive a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men.
Yeah, amen. When He, Jesus, ascended on high, He, Jesus, led those that were captive. Hallelujah. No, we were all captive, weren't we?
Yeah.
We were captive to sin. We were captive to sickness and disease. We were captive of the devil.
Yeah.
And Lord, you know, the Lord has come to set us free.
Amen.
And in that setting free in Ephesians, it says, when He, Jesus, ascended on high, He led us. He set us free. He broke the power of the enemy over our lives. And it says there, and I love that last bit of Ephesians where He said, and He, Jesus, gave gifts to men.
Yeah.
He gave gifts to mankind. And today, when we realize more and more that the Christ who rose again from the dead, the Christ who died on the cross, that shed His blood, that today, not only has He done that, but He's given gifts to each and every one of us to be used for the ministry and the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because when we came to Christ, we become part of His mission. When we came to Christ, we become part of the kingdom. And so what the kingdom and what the king has decided to do, because we're in Christ, we are now part of that. And so it is for each and every one of us, we should be preparing ourselves, motivating ourselves to move into the things of the kingdom of God, to do the work of the kingdom, to be part of the kingdom. And there are sometimes things that we don't feel like we want to do. But, hey, guess what? God is preparing us. God is calling us. And he's equipping us. Sometimes we have to do the menial things. But that's okay. Because sometimes the greater is the reward in the menial than there is in being on the front line, being out at the front on the platform. Sometimes people get all their adulations, you know, people clap them, people shout their names, etc. But the person somewhere at the back who's doing what appear to be the mundane things are still important. Every cog, every wheel is important to work through the things of the kingdom of God. And so we move forward together. Let's have a look at Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verse 18. Psalm 68 and verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captive thy captives. Thou hast received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there. I think this is amazing that again we have a prophetic psalm where David is declaring that his Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's declaring, and obviously this is where Paul got it from and wrote it in Ephesians, that he took it from a psalm that is actually being written hundreds of years before the event. You know, we have a God who knows what's happening. Mm-hmm. We have a God who knows what is happening tomorrow, right? And what we have to try and remember is that today, we live in today. Yesterday has gone. Yeah. And how many of us maybe yesterday were worrying about something today?
Yeah.
Huh? How many of us yesterday were worrying about something today? We weren't in today yet. And God said that, you know, sufficient for today. And so God has made provision for today. And, you know, if we are offered tomorrow, God will make provision for tomorrow. God is always there because God intends that you and I will fulfill his plans and his purposes as we move and breathe and live on this earth. And so it is important for us to realize that. I want to just read those verses from the Living Bible, Psalm 68. He says, he ascends the heights, leading many captives in his train. He receives gifts for men. You see, Jesus is receiving from the Father gifts for us. And he says, even though who once were rebels, were you a rebel?
Yeah.
Dharma, were you a rebel? Oh, glory to God. Amen. You know, he said, even those who were once rebels, Daniel and David, hallelujah. He says, he's receiving gifts for the rebels. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, no matter what you've been like, no matter what you've done, there are gifts that Jesus has received for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's giving them to us. So we just have to position ourselves into that place of receiving. And it says, God will live among us here. Wow. You know, that sends shivers up my spine. That says my hairs to stand on end. God will live among us here. So many people are looking to go to heaven instead of having heaven on earth right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Having the presence of God on the earth right now. So many are wanting to go to it instead of living in it.
Amen.
Because that's what it's about. It's about living in the heaven now.
Yeah.
Heaven is here. Heaven resides within each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
The mission is that Christ be in us all in all. And so mm-hmm. instead of looking for the future of going to, it's like living the now. Living in that presence of God now. Living in the heavenly presence of God now. That's why Christ came, to restore that heavenly presence. Mm-hmm. To restore that relationship, that we might live in it. Verse 19 of that psalm says, "What a glorious Lord." He is a glorious Lord. "He who daily bears our burdens also gives us our salvation."
Amen.
Praise God. Yeah. What a glorious Lord. He's a glorious Lord. He died for us. He rose again for us. And he daily bears our burdens. Stop carrying the burdens.
Amen.
Stop thinking you're smart. Stop thinking you're stronger than he is. He didn't create us to carry the burdens. He is the great burden bearer. And so he says, who daily bears our burdens also gives us our salvation.
Amen.
He provides for us.
Yeah.
He provides for our mental well-being. You know, there's so much talk at the moment about people's mental well-being. If you know Jesus, if you know the Prince of Peace,
Amen.
If you know the one who, if our minds are stayed upon him, we'll have a mental well-being. And you know, this is what the message needs to be got out to people.
Yeah.
That Jesus is the answer. That Jesus can bring you stability.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is that stabilizing factor throughout all humanity.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what your station is, no matter what country you live in, Jesus is the stabilizer.
Mm-hmm.
He's the King of the world. He's the God of the creation. He's the one. And he will bring that stabilization into people's lives. And salvation, the provision for all things, was made at the cross. Nothing was left out. Nothing was missing when Jesus died on that cross.
Mm-hmm.
Every provision, sickness, sin, disease, everything, finance, every provision has been made through the cross. And all it's about now is you and I constantly developing that relationship of going with him, flowing with him, following him day by day. And as we follow him, we will know his daily provision. Our God's provision shall be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's turn back now to Luke's Gospel again and chapter 2. And verse 36. And whilst all of this is going on with Simeon, as he's offering the sacrifice to God, it says, living in the temple area, there were rooms for people to stay and to live, and there was this lady called Anna, and she was a prophetess. And he says, Anna, a prophetess, was also there in the temple that day that Jesus was brought for that sacrifice offering. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the Jewish tribe of Asher, and was very old, for she had been a widow for 84 years, following 7 years of marriage. So this dear lady is at least 84 years old. And she was a prophetess. She was serving God in the temple. They looked after her. They cared for her in the temple. And she lived there. And she was serving God. She was listening to the voice of God all the time. It says there, she never left the temple, but stayed there night and day, worshipping God by praying and often fasting. And in verse 38 says, she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. And she also began thanking God and telling everyone in Jerusalem who had been waiting the coming of the Savior that the Messiah had finally arrived. These two people had spent their lives waiting for the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
These two people saw the Messiah. They saw God's promise fulfilled. And I tell you, God wants you to see his promises fulfilled in your life.
Amen.
Don't miss it. Don't suddenly decide, I can't be bothered, I've waited all this time, I'm just going to pack it in, stick with it, stay
amen.
With it, because the promises of God are yes and amen. And so God wants you to know that these promises are true. And this dear lady, this dear servant of God, this man of God, had seen the promise of God come to its fullness, come to its promise, and they could see even into the future that this was the Messiah. This was the one, this was the comforter, this was the deliverer, this was what the world had been waiting for. This was the fact of God restoring all things back to himself. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. So, let us now move into Luke chapter 4. We move on just a few years, some 30 years. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Not going to go into that, but we know as the story that Jesus went in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil came and tempted him in every aspect of his life. And he came out, it says, victorious. And he came out in the power of the Spirit. He said he didn't come out weakened. He came out in the power of the Spirit. We're in lockdown.
Amen.
Are we going to come out weaker?
No.
Or are we going to come out in the power of the Spirit?
In the power of the Spirit.
And so we need to remember this. You know, we need to remind ourselves that as we allow ourselves to be placed in the hands of the Lord, as we allow ourselves to just go with the flow of what God is doing in our lives and find that place, find that special place in God and let him begin to minister into our lives. Let's move to verse 16 of Luke chapter 4. And Jesus had been coming out, he'd come out of the wilderness, and he says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Mm. And verse 17, it says, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. Oh, glory to God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are trodden down, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.
Amen.
He says, verse 20, and he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Oh, that the world would fix their eyes upon Jesus today.
Amen.
They knew when the way and where he had read from, they knew it meant something very special that day. They knew that God was about to do something. They knew there was a moving. And Jesus is now announcing the reason why he's there. He's lived for 30 years, worked as a carpenter, but now he's set about his Heavenly Father's business.
Amen.
The mission, one, to preach the gospel to the poor. This is Christ's anti-poverty program.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Christ wants to preach the gospel to the poor. We're not just to sit around in a small group, but we're to reach out to people. We're to reach out and touch people's lives. You know, we are to be a place where rich and poor can come together and feel loved and welcomed.
Amen.
Having, you know, Jesus tells that story in the parable of where a rich man comes in and they say, oh, you come and sit down here. And they give him a good place. It's not about that. It is about who we are in Christ. We're just the same. It doesn't matter which country we came from. It doesn't matter which family line, bloodline we came from. It is the fact, the only family line that we came from is the family line of Christ, our Lord and Saviour.
Yeah.
And that our destiny and our purpose and our future is all in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And that we have that destiny, we have that purpose, we have that future, which is in Christ. And so, it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter where we come from, because it is all about Christ in each and every one of us.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you did. You know, you might, some people in the world will say, oh, you're a worse sinner, you've done worse things than so and so. Sin is sin in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
A lie is a lie in the eyes of God. Stealing is stealing in the eyes of God. It is all sin.
Yeah.
God does not grade levels of sin. But it is sin. And the biggest sin that we have in our lives is the fact that we never accepted Christ. We turned away from God. He says that we were people who were far from God. And that was our biggest sin, that our rejection of God himself. And when we turn through Christ back to God, God forgives us for our greatest sin and for our smallest sins.
Amen.
And brings us back into that relationship with him.
Yeah.
Secondly, the second part of the mission is that he said he was sent to heal the brokenhearted. And there are homes with broken men and broken women and children who do not know where to turn and do not know what the answer is to their problem. They need us. They need to see the tender mercies of God flowing out of you and I.
Amen.
We need to continue as a church that is flowing in the healing and in the mercy of God, and that we can see the captives being set free.
Amen.
That is the purpose. You know, we have to fulfill the mission. We have to fulfill the ministry and the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a mission for Harvest Fields, right?
Mm.
This is not a mission for Flintwood Methodist. This is a mission for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is, in other words, it is a mission for each and every one of us, that this is what we should be doing. And so thirdly, we also are here to proclaim liberty, freedom to those who are held in bondage to sin. And this freedom and this liberty comes through the fact of the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon that cross. This freedom comes from the delivering power from the devil, delivering people from drink, drugs, porn, gambling, demonic forces, from vows made to demonic powers.
Mm.
This is what we're called to do. This is part of the mission that Jesus came, that Jesus set us up for. He came to set the captives free. Hallelujah. And we, as we've read the stories in the past of Jesus and setting captives free from demonic forces, we see God moving in power.
Mm-hmm.
We see Jesus at work, and this is part of what we have to do. The next part of it, the fourth one, recovery of sight to the blind. The recovery of physical sight. That's a great thing that we can see. When you lay hands on somebody and you pray for somebody and their eyesight is restored. Oh, what a joy. What a miracle it happens to be. You rejoice in that. But it is not just in that. But it is the recovery of spiritual blindness. The world today is blinded spiritually,
yeah,
to our God. And so today the Lord wants you and I to be to recover from our spiritual blindness, that the souls of men and women will see the Creator, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who made you.
Mm.
That's what God wants. God wants you to see him. God wants you to know him. God wants you to recover your sight, your spiritual sight, and to know him whom to know, is life eternal. Fifthly, the calling to set at liberty and bring freedom from oppression, no longer downtrodden, no longer emotionally disturbed, no longer physically in bondage, but the complete release by the power of the blood of Jesus. Because it says, you know, that when he died on that cross, before he got to the cross even, it said he sweat drops of blood even in the garden. In that sweating of drops of blood, that is like the emotions that he was feeling, that he was going through. If you remember, he said to his father, "Father, basically, is there another way? But if not, then I'll go this way." And he was perspiring with the load, the emotional torment that went with that. So for every mental illness, for every mental disease, even in the garden, Jesus was paying the price for that, to set people free. To bring us to a place of a settled emotional state in our lives. Bringing us to a point where he's the one who will be our great burden bearer. You know, he wants us to know him in both the realms of the physical. He wants us to know him in the realms of the emotional. Because the Bible says that God is love. That is an emotional reaching out of God to you and to me. His love coming for you and for me. And that is God's emotion. Reaching out for each and every one of us. God wants us to be free in both the physical and the emotional realms of our lives. That we come to a place of absolute freedom in God. You see, God sent his son Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to bring us to a place of peace and freedom, and to remove those burdens and those pressures off us, and that we learn to walk in that realm of the Spirit in God, and that we walk above situations, we walk above circumstances, and we stand in the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, sixth, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus stopped in mid-sentence. He didn't continue on with the rest of the reading. He stopped right in the middle of it and didn't go any further. And just there, he held it. Why? Because he didn't want them to hear the next part. He wanted them to hear that part. To declare, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Or as the New American Standard says, it says to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. God is looking upon us with his favor.
Yeah.
God is looking over us with his favor. Mm. You see, God and Jesus at that time were talking about the mission for the now. And we are still in the now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. It is a now gospel. It is a now salvation. It is a now miracle working God. It is a now healing God. It is a now God of provision for each and every one of us. And so God wants us to know the now for our lives. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is about the now. He's already made provision for the now. And so for you and for me, the mission has to continue. We're in the now. We have these six steps, these six programs, these six works to complete in the name of Jesus. And so this is still the mission for the church of Jesus Christ, to continue in this from Isaiah 61. From Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We have to come to that place as the Church of Jesus Christ where the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We don't want the spirit of the devil. We don't want the spirit of some man, but we want the spirit of the man, the Son of Man, the Son of God, to be resident, to be saturated upon us, and that in it he comes first, because he has anointed me and you to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. You are anointed through Christ Jesus to speak, to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, to declare the love of God to the poor. And he has sent you to proclaim release to the captives.
Amen.
He's not sending somebody else. He's sending you. Hallelujah. And he is anointing you. He is appointing you to do this. And so for us today, it is that we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, as we begin to fulfill these things, he has called us also to rule and to reign. He called us to rule and to reign. And in that ruling and reigning, that we shall see his kingdom come, his will be done, on earth as it already is in heaven. And so we are called as the people of God. We're called as disciples of the Lord Jesus to reach out and touch people's lives for the glory of God. We're called to introduce people to Jesus. We're called to touch them with the presence of Jesus. Now, this the healing power and the delivering power that God has made manifest in the church today. It's an action of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus came and he gave, and he, as he was given birth to, in the same way as given birth to us in the spirit realm, and has set us loose to minister to all of mankind. Today you and I are called. Today you and I are positioned and appointed by the Lord Jesus. You might say, well, Pastor, I really don't feel I'm qualified. Well, none of us were qualified. But because of Christ Jesus, he qualified for us.
Amen.
He took the exam. Mm. He paid the price. He did all the studying. He did all the work that was crucial. And now he's moving us, you and I, into that place where he says, I want you just to step in. I want you to be my hands, my feet, my mouth. I want you to be just like me.
Yes.
And you know, as we draw at this time close to him and to be like him, no, we're not perfect yet. We know that. But the fact is, we're on the journey of perfection. We're on the journey of growing into him. We're on the journey of coming closer to him. And as we journey with him, and as he equips us, yes, we'll make our mistakes. But that's okay. God has made provision for every mistake that we will ever make. And God has made a way for each and every one of us. And so for you and for me today, let us push in. Let us allow the Lord Jesus to come into our lives in a greater fullness. Let us allow the presence of the Holy Spirit to just flow within us. And let him scope within us and just begin to direct us, to lead us, and to press us into him. And that through you and me, just like with Elijah, with Isaiah, when he began to declare the word of the Lord, let us be the people of God who have the word of the Lord on their lips.
Amen.
Who have the presence of the Holy Spirit, that in this earthen vessel, in this body, we carry Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We carry the anointing, ready to pour out to the poor, to the rich, to those that are in need. And those that are in need, every one of them, are the people who have never accepted Christ as Lord and Saviour. Those that have never turned to him, and those that have yet turned away from him and have yet to come back to him. Those are the people that we're to reach out to today. We're reaching out for the lost. And as we reach out to the lost, we shall see Christ in all his fullness and in all his glory. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.